Okay. Got David running the sound booth before me back there. All right. This morning, I wanted to share a message that I came across, actually inspired by a song that I heard. And fortunately, the only song that can inspire me to preach is one that's based on the Word of God. Because that's the importance, that's where the truth is, that's where the authority is. You know, we're in a world today that's filled with people that are rushing everywhere. You're part of it. I'm part of it. It's work, it's kids, ball games, chores, friends, family stuff. The list goes on and on. Matter of fact, it's hard to find some people that go through days out of the week with nothing much to do but to sit around and watch a TV program or read a book. Maybe sometimes for those of you that are getting up in age and your energy doesn't allow you to do, life may slow down some. I know with my mom that's happened, and she can't do as much as what she used to do, and she has to be slow. And for some of you, that's a few years older than me. But for a lot of us, life happens fast. And for a lot of people that you come in contact with out there, the same things are happening in their world. Their lives are just as busy. There's no time for anything else, not even time to think. You know, years and years ago, I understand, not by experience, that before TV and radio, for obviously internet and cell phones and texting and instant messaging and all of these other things, that when evening came and it got dark, people kind of sat down, either talked with one another or went out on the porch if weather permitted and sat there and looked at the moon and the stars. And guess what they did? They thought. What an idea. We're in a society today that we don't have time to think. We're just doing the things that we've got to do. And we're missing out on that. And even the times that we do have some extra time, and I'm guilty of this as well, as we sit down in front of something to be amused, do you know what? The word muse means to what? To think. Amuse means not to think. And so when you're looking for amusement, you're looking for something that you can occupy yourself with that allows you not to think. Some people go to alcohol for that. But the point is this. We often go through our lives not just days and weeks, but sometimes years, without really having time to take the time to think and to see. Many people, that's why in Psalm 19 it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. When's the last time you stopped, not just to smell the roses, but to look at the stars and to consider how they got there? Consider the God that put them there. Consider the vastness of His existence and His power. To contemplate a little bit about what is around us that God has placed here that He wants us to see. And to think about how does that affect you and me. This world is so fast. It seems like we wake up one day and we think, where has it all gone? It slips by so quickly. At the same time, there are many around us that are hurting, some physically, but a lot of them are hurting emotionally. People that are going through all kinds of situations in their lives, whether it be financial or relational, as far as in marriage or parenting, friendship, betrayal, It may be job-related emotional hurts, etc., that are there. Many of them have questions that they don't know where to find the answers. There's a song, as I mentioned, that I came across that actually spoke to that. And the word said, "She slipped through the door," speaking of the church here, "sat on the last pew, a heart full of questions and a world tore in two. Bearing the weight of years of regret, she listened to the preacher when he stood up and said, 'If you're somewhere between doubt and believing, friends, I have answers for all that you're needing.'" You know that the Bible, God's Word, has the answers to so many of the questions the people around you have every day. People that you come in contact with, people that you may work beside, people that live next door, across the yard, or across the street. People maybe in your extended family. Maybe even some of the people that are right here in a service like this today. God has answers for the questions that we have. And the questions that we're going to be dealing with this morning specifically deal with the forgiveness that God offers to us through salvation, as well as that personal relationship that we can have with Him. The song went on to ask some questions and answer. He says, "Ask me who, and I'll tell you Jesus. Ask me how, and I'll say it's the blood. Ask me where, and I'll take you to Calvary. Ask me why, and I'll tell you it's love." And I thought about that, and I thought that makes a good message outline because it lines right up with Scripture. It lines right up with God's plan of what He wants us to share with others. And I want you to get this. I am well aware that the majority of you sitting in here today have already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know that you have a relationship with Him. And what I'm going to share with you is for this purpose. In 1 Peter 3:15, God says there, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to any man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, and do it with meekness and fear." We are to be ready anytime that we contact one of these people out here that have questions and we have the answers to. They're looking, and how can I know that I'm going to heaven? And there's so much confusion out there in the world and opinions that have been given. But God has only given, as we'll see, one way that we can get into His heaven. And we have the answer to that. And so as we contact and run into these people, whether they work beside of us, whether they live beside of us, whether they're related to us, or whether we run into them in a parking lot, in Walmart, etc., we need to be ready always to give an answer to anyone that we come in contact with about the reason why we have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, a confident assurance that one day we'll be in heaven with Him. Amen. That's what we need, and that's what I want you to get this morning. And maybe if you're here today and you have some of these questions, I hope that you'll have the answers to them before you leave today and make sure that you know that you have a relationship with God and your sins are forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven. Father, right now I pray as we begin in this message that you would allow us to look at the truth of it, and that we do understand these simple principles that you've given us that even a child can appreciate. But Father, I pray that you would allow us to understand it to the point that we not only have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and are sure of it, but that we can now take that information and share it with another, that they too could come to that confidence. I ask it, Lord, through your Holy Spirit's power, in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to look at these four questions here briefly, and then I have a few other questions that we'll dive into. But the first one there that it said in the song there was, "Ask me who, and I'll tell you Jesus." Jesus simply means, the name means, their Savior. And that's exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He said Himself there in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," except by me, He said. And so nobody can come into God's heaven unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's His own words. There are some people that have said, you know, I don't believe necessarily everything the Bible says, but I believe that Jesus was a good man. I believe that He was a great teacher. I believe that, you know, He is a wonderful example. Well, not if He's a liar. And if you don't believe what Jesus says there, then you're saying that He is a liar. And no liar would be an example of a great teacher or a good man. And therefore, not only that, but the other proofs of Scripture, I know that what He says is the truth. And I know whom I have believed, as the Apostle Paul says, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him, my soul, as my Savior, until that day. Amen. I know that He will do that. He can do that, and He has done that. So Jesus is the only way there. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we to be saved from? Somebody might ask you. What is your answer? The answer there is found in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Death is the wage. It is the result of our sin. And whose sin are we talking about? How many of you have sinned? Okay. Who didn't raise their hand? You just lied. And ignorance is not an excuse. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says. Romans 6:23 says there, the wages then that all of us deserve for our sin is death, not just the physical death of the soul separated from the body, but spiritual death, where our soul is separated from God in a place of torment where we, it says, will perish, not that we will cease to exist. It's not what the word means. But God says that we will perish there in this place of torment called hell and eventually the lake of fire. And it is a place of torment where it will be for all eternity, not stopping. What a terrible picture to think about the reality of hell. But God says He is not willing that any should perish in that place, but that all should come to repentance. And we're going to deal with that word in just a moment. But we're saved from then the penalty of sin. And we need that salvation from the penalty of sin. And that's why God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take that penalty for us. He is our substitute, if you will. He took my place there when He died on Calvary. And He paid the penalty of my sin, but not mine only. But Scripture tells us He paid the penalty of the sin of the whole world. Amen. Jesus Christ asked me who. He is the one that provided it, our Savior. Ask me how, and I'll say it's the blood. You know, it wasn't enough that Jesus died on the cross, but He had to die a specific way, according to Scripture, and that was by the shedding of His blood. We know that, and God actually created mankind's body in a specific way just to illustrate this point. He had it all planned. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. This is true not just of man, but of animals. If you drain the blood, you drain the life. Without blood, we cannot live. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, after His resurrection, appeared before the disciples, and He says, reach here, feel of my hands, reach here at my side. Understand, I am not a ghost. I'm not some spirit. I am flesh and bones. Amen. There's no blood at that point. That's right. Amen. Life at that point is not relying upon the blood. It's relying upon Christ. Amen. And the glorified bodies that we have, that life will be relied upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the first risen from the dead. Amen. He's the one that supplies that. But right now, our life is in the blood. And so God designed a sacrificial system in the Old Testament to picture what He was going to do with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God. He made it where there had to be the shedding of blood for the atonement of sin to be made. And so we read in that verse there then in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." We compare that over into Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, where it says there, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." And the word remission means there the forgiveness of sins. And so it is the blood that had to be shed. It is the blood of Christ when He died to shed His blood. That was the atonement for our souls, our penalty of sin, to wash away our sins completely. Sin is never washed away by water baptism. It's not what it's for. Sin is never washed away by doing the best that you can. Sin is never washed away by innocence or ignorance. Sin is only washed away by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one, that's the thing that counts. Jesus is our Savior, our substitute, who shed His blood in death for our redemption. Ask me who, Jesus. Ask me how, it was the blood. Ask me where, and I'll take you to where? To Calvary. That's where it took place. There on Calvary, just outside of the old wall of Jerusalem on the north side, just a couple of stone throws away from the Damascus gate there, up on the hill, as you look out of Jerusalem there by the gate, stands there Calvary, we believe. It is the place of the skull, and it's interesting how that as you look at the face of that hill there, it has some caverns in it and so forth, looks like eye sockets and so forth, and a mouth that is there. As you look, it looks like a picture of a skull. But it was there, we believe, that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and that He was buried just a short place away there from Gordon's Calvary, it's called there, and in the garden tomb. And we see that garden tomb. Vicki and I saw it with our eyes. Jim and Carolyn were with us there on that trip. And I tell you, the experience of being there in the Holy Land was something that we'll never forget. It was a great impact upon us and an eye-opener for our ministry as well. But we have here in this place of Calvary, just outside of Jerusalem there, in the Greek it's called Calvary, in the Hebrew Golgotha, both of them mean a skull or the place of a skull. In Luke 23, verse 33, it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him," the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 19 and verse 17, "And He bearing His cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." This is where our Lord gave His life there. His life blood He gave as payment for our sin. And then you ask me why? Why did He go there to Calvary? Why did He shed His blood? Why did He suffer so much for us? I'll tell you, it was the love of God. There's another song that came to my mind, a hymn that I've sung before and maybe you've heard. "Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why should He love me so?" It is the love of God that put Him there. It was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ who voluntarily laid down His life there for us on Calvary. John 3:16, most people know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not," what? "Perish in that place of torment that we talked about a while ago, but have instead everlasting life with Him in heaven." That's God's desire. He's not willing, as I said, that any should perish, but He is desiring that all would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ knew and looked ahead that He would be doing exactly that for not only those that He talked to, but for every one of us, that He would give His life there for us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did exactly that. When did He die for us? While we were yet sinners. When I was a sinner, when I didn't have anything worthy to offer unto Him, when I didn't even look unto Him and desire for Him, He had me in mind when He died there on Calvary. He paid for my sin. For every one of us, that we could have the forgiveness that He offers so freely. Over and over, the Bible makes it clear that the answer to why did Jesus Christ go to the cross, why did God send His only begotten Son to do this, why did they experience separation there when He died there on Calvary from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock as darkness covered the earth there, and God turned His back upon His Son the first time ever in all of eternity past or eternity future. God the Father and God the Son were broken in fellowship. He was separated. Remember what death is? Death is separation. He was separated from God for us to pay the penalty of our sin. And because He is God, His sacrifice was infinite enough to pay for not only all of our sin, but all of all people's sin of all time. Jesus paid it all. Praise the Lord. And He did it out of love. Love paid the price. God's love paid the price that God's justice demanded. And Jesus did it. There are other questions that I want us to consider. The next few questions here before we go. The first one asks this: who? Who needs this salvation? I answered that a while ago. You can tell me. How many people are sinners? All. Every person has sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a person alive today, ever living apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, has ever lived apart from sin. We're all sinners. That's why He came. Who can receive this salvation? Whosoever will, the Scripture tells us. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. We sing another hymn, whosoever meaneth whom. It means me. It means you. It means whosoever will turn and by faith call upon the Lord to be saved, God will save them. That's His promise. And so we need to understand there that it, every one of us needs it. And any one of us can receive it, including those that you come in contact with out there that have the question and in their mind, have I sinned too long? Have I sinned too bad? Have I waited too long that God will not save me now? And the answer to that question is, as long as God is calling your heart and drawing your heart and you want to make that choice right now, it is not too late. You can make the choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ at that point. Friend, let me warn you about something. There does come a time when God doesn't work with a person's heart anymore to draw them into Himself. And then it's too late, even if they've not died at that point. So you don't wait, as we'll see in a moment. Not only who needs it and who can receive it, but what is the next question? And this is the easy one too. Comes out of a hymn, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ there. Another one out of Scripture, Acts 16:30, the jailer to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is believing? What am I to believe? Well, number one, before a person can get saved, they got to believe that they're lost. They got to believe that they're a sinner. They got to believe that there's a penalty of their sin. They got to believe that they're in a lost condition, and if they die in that condition, that they will perish in a place called hell in the lake of fire for all eternity future. They must first be in need before they'll ever turn to the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that people must believe is that they're lost, that they are sinners, that they have a penalty to their sin that they must pay, that must be paid. And if they do not have a substitute, they must pay it themselves. They must not only just believe, but there's that word that I mentioned a while ago about repentance. What does it mean to repent? It's an idea there of turning. If you'll pitch it this way, here's the person that all their life they've known nothing but I am a sinner, and now they hear about the love of God and the provision of Jesus Christ and when He shed His blood there to pay for their sin. And so in that process of believing and making this choice, they decide, I don't want this life anymore. I want to turn from that and I want to turn to God to be my Savior and to forgive me of my sin. Now, it does not mean that they'll never sin again, but it does mean that they'll never want this life of sin again. That's not what is in their heart. They want to turn from that, and they want to be holy unto the Lord. And so there's believing that they're lost there. There's a believing that Jesus Christ did die on the cross there, shedding His blood, and has a legitimate offer unto them, whosoever will receive it. And they turn from their sin, and the last thing that they need to do is found there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where I read to you in the first part of that verse there, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. What do you do with any gift that is offered unto you? You have the choice then to receive it or not. You don't have to receive it. Well, kind of rude, we might say, but here God offers the free gift. Not everybody in the world receives the free gift that God has offered. They may understand and believe that they're sinners. They may know that their life has been full of sin. And they may believe that Jesus died on the cross. But that's about where it stops. It's a head knowledge of facts about what is true. But they never come to the point where they have made the choice to receive that gift for themselves. That's why we read in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We can become a child of God, forgiven of our sins, and one of His if we believe, even to those that believe on His name. So it is there, believing that we're sinners, believing that He died on the cross, repenting, turning from our sin, and turning to Him and making a choice to receive the gift of eternal life that He has given unto us and offered unto us. That's all salvation is. Quite simple, isn't it? I'm a sinner. Jesus is a Savior. I don't want this anymore. I want Him. Right now, I make a choice to receive what He did as my payment of sin. Salvation takes place when that genuine choice is made. And it's the only thing salvation is. Jesus Christ paid it all. The next question, my last question this morning, well, not really, but in my notes. Why? Why do you need it? Well, I think it's all obvious. But right here in Hebrews chapter 9 again, verse 27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know that the reason that a person needs to trust and make the choice of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior is there's a judgment coming. When you step out of this world, your life is over. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ either as a Savior or as a judge. And the choice is yours right now with what you do with Jesus Christ. And people need to know that. Once they pass from this life, there is no second chance. There's nothing that you or I or anyone else can do for them at that point. All opportunities are gone and over. There's not enough money that could be paid. There's not enough prayers that could be offered. There's not enough penance that could be done. There's not enough anything that anyone of any stature can do for them at that point. That's why we're told in 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It's at the moment that God is tugging at that person's heart, at your heart possibly, that God is saying, right now is the time that I want you to trust me. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. James 4:4 talks about that our life is but a vapor. I don't think it's verse 4, though. But James talks about it. Our life is but a vapor. And so we're not guaranteed tomorrow's breath. I was reminded when I thought about that of Jesus' words there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. He told about this farmer that was, he called, he didn't call him, but, well, he did in a way, but in my Bible it has their title there, The Rich Fool. And that his life, everything was going great there. His crops were greatly producing. His barns were overflowing. And he said, I'll tear down these barns. I'll build bigger barns. And I'll have a nicer house. And I'll have a better car. And I'll be able to take care of my kids even more. And I'll send them to a nice college. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Just because things look great and a job is doing wonderfully and the money's flowing great in steadily and it's just working out to do all of these wonderful things, we must remember that God gives us the next day. Not our hard work. And so we must keep in mind, especially for those that are choosing whether to choose salvation or not, that today is the day of salvation as God has given us opportunity. For none of us are guaranteed a tomorrow. No one is guaranteed even tomorrow that God will be dealing with their heart. I know that the majority of you in here, as I opened up this message and said, that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ already, and I praise God for that. But also I remind you what I emphasized at the beginning, that we must know how to help someone else come to that same understanding, that same Savior that saved us. And it's not hard. How did you get to church today? What direction do you take? I know some of you are directionally impaired. But I hope that you know how you got to church today. And witnessing is just telling one person, telling another person how they got to Jesus Christ. And it's because of the truth of Scripture that you realize your need. It's because of the truth of Scripture that you realize that He was the Savior. It's because of the truth of Scripture that you realize you had received that gift that He was offering of eternal life. And so all you do is say, "Can I share with you how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior?" And you share with them that truth that you came to know. And you share with them the Word of God that you came to know it by. Because God says there that faith comes by hearing this word, not your fancy presentation. God honors His word. And so when we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to share it with Scripture. I've got some of these out there in the foyer for you if you'd like to take them. There's one about a half a sheet here that has the plan of salvation on it. Man's sin, sin's penalty, God's love, God's provision, man's responsibility, and the verses that go along with it all written out right there. You can have it right with you. I've got a little shorter version. I don't have a lot of these. It's laminated. I'll have to try to make some more of them. But I just pulled these off of the shelf there that I had in my office, and I have some of those out there for you too. It's not written out verses, but it has the same areas there with the verses scripture-wise written beside of it. And I encourage you that you ought to, if you don't know it automatically in your head right now, get some of these, get one of these, and take them and read over it and read over it and memorize these verses, because these are the ones that you come in contact with. And sometimes you don't have a Bible right there in your hand when you're talking with them. And it's good to know the truth and know what God said about it so that you can share with them that truth. But as Romans goes on to say there in Romans 10, after verse 13, verse 14, because verse 13 said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But the verse 14 goes to say something like this: "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard?" Whom they have not believed. "And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" A proclaimer is the word. And so we ought to be faithful in proclaiming the simple truth of the gospel. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What? I'll tell you, it's the blood. Where? I'll take you to Calvary. Why? It was the love of God. God's love that put Him there. People need to know the answers to their questions. You don't know if they've got them until you reach out to ask. Every head bowed, please. I'll be the first to tell you that a message like this right here touches my heart, because I'm not the witness that I should be, just like I know that many of us are not the witness that we should be. We all are under the same commands. We all have the same responsibilities. God has promised us the same promises. I will be there with you. He will help us. If God has commanded us to do something, He will help us to accomplish it. So I encourage you. Say, "Lord, I'm scared." And if you'd have been here Wednesday night, you'd know how to say, "Lord, You've told me to pick up the snake, to do the fearful thing, as Moses did to his rod as he threw it down." If God tells us to do it, He'll keep us through doing it. Father, I pray for every one of us right now. Those of us, the majority, that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that You would help us to now be able to be prepared and ready always to give an answer to anyone that asks us the reason for the hope that's within us. Lord, that takes work, effort on our part. Father, I pray that we would be willing to do our part, since You have done so much for us. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that maybe does not yet know in confidence that they have trusted You as Savior. I pray, Father, that they would make that choice before they leave today. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. 308. 308 is the hymn in which we're going to sing as an invitation. And the invitation that I invite you to respond to is this. If you need to speak to me about a decision, especially if it is about a decision for salvation, if you don't know for sure, on this first verse, just come forward and I'll have someone take you aside and help you to understand how to make that choice before you ever leave today. Don't put that off. Whether you need to come to the altar or whether you need to make the choice in your seat there as a Christian for what God has called you to do in witnessing, I encourage you to make that choice today in commitment to the Lord as you're here. And then pick up one of these sheets out there and use that to prepare yourself to be ready to give an answer. Let's stand together as we sing, please. Second verse, please. Thank you for coming. Remind you of a couple things. Sign up there for refreshments tonight. If you can help us with that to make sure that we got enough coming. Also, is there a sign up for the ladies' night out, or is that just they just come? Okay, all right. Y'all know about that for Thursday night there. Tonight, Western Roundup. Contact some folks there. Let them know if we're missing them there. To hope that they'll be back with us. And I think that should remind everybody of what's going on there. So let's be dismissed in prayer. Frank Watson, would you mind to lead us in prayer as we go? God bless you. Hope to see you back tonight.